It's time for Push to Play, your weekly trophy podcast with Mindy and CJ.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 52 of Push to Plat. It is my pleasure to be here today speaking with you wherever you may be. Well, let's face it, you're probably in your house. That's exactly where you are. You're probably at this point got one hand, maybe two hands around your child's neck, just slowly squeezing the life out of them. Or perhaps your child has their hands around your neck. I'm not sure. But one of those two situations is probably in play at some time this week or definitely in the next week. But look, I hope you're keeping your sanity. I hope you're finding some fun, whether it be through Netflix, YouTube, or, you know, even on the PlayStation. Or, shock horror, perhaps finally you've jumped into the Xbox and the Game Pass. Look, all of those are possibilities for my co-host, Mindy. How are you today, Mindy?
Child-free. Yeah. We've had some family issues. And, like, right before all this started, my siblings came into town with their spouses and children, and they are all staying at my parents' house. We all each had bedrooms in that house, right? There's three of us. So there are, 10 people in that house now, which is fine when it's like Christmas and it's like 4 or 5 days. But I'm just kind of sitting there and I'm in my apartment. I'm like, I don't have to teach these kids. I don't have to deal with them. Yes.
There's a fantastic quote flying around here in Australia at the moment, because at this stage, schools are still open here for the time being, but a lot of students are choosing to self-isolate. And then the quote is from the teachers union. And it's like, finally, you will realize the teacher was not the problem. It is you. Your children really are like that.
I think a lot of parents are realizing that. My sister is like climbing up the walls because she got an email today that where she lives, like, most places have canceled school for like a month, I think, like to mid-April, something like that. Their school has canceled for the rest of the school year. And the only other place I've heard that happening are colleges, like big colleges are doing that. But she is livid because I'm like, well, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, well, then you should have had kids.
So, Mindy, we've got a few questions that have come in over the last few weeks / months. Perhaps now is a good time to turn to them. Could we start with a previous guest, Lawless Llama's question? And he asks, Mindy, what was a game, y'all? I still can't do that. Y'all. Y'all, I just y'all. Don't have a good enough accent. What was a game y'all were initially suspicious of before giving it a try for yourself and loving it?
Huh. That's a really good question. I mean,
being a completionist, aren't you sort of a little bit suspicious of every game?
To an extent. This is really going to bother me, actually. Because I feel like, no, I really feel like I should have an immediate answer. And I'm just drawing a complete blank.
Well, perhaps this is an invalid question. I don't know.
It might be an invalid question. You know, I will say, I'll go old school on this. And I'm going to go 16-bit JRPG. And I'm going to say Secret of Evermore. I feel like I've said this in the podcast before, but Secret of Evermore gets a lot of hate. Because people think that it's the reason that the West didn't get Secret of Mana 2, and that's just not true. It does play like Secret of Mana, but it's lesser. I'm not going to say it's better than Secret of Mana. It's not. But I think it's actually a pretty fun game. So I guess that stands up more. I guess that's more in the category of games I will stand up for that maybe other people wouldn't. But I do remember wanting to play it, you know, right around when I first did, but not having as much enthusiasm or hope for it than I had from other Squaresoft games. Does that count? I don't know if that counts.
Well, it sounds like you were wary of it at the time. So I think it. Well, have a think. You might have another one. I think I'd probably go with MMOs as a genre. I was very suspicious of those because from a young age, I knew those were massive time sync games, and I didn't want to get sucked into something like that. So I think I've always been suspicious of that style of game just because of those elements. So when I started Final Fantasy 14, thank you, listeners, I worked it in again. When I started that game, I was very conscious of the fact that you could lose hundreds of hours. And I was like, you know, that won't happen. Who would do that? But I think what I've learned from those style of games is that while you spend hundreds of hours in them, it's not like you spend hundreds of hours in them in a month or a couple of months. It happens over years. So you don't notice, Mindy, the slow decline of your mental health as you spend more and more time in these games, because it is progressive. So I suppose I was very suspicious. But then on the flip side, I'm glad that I played it, because I think the depth of the story and the depth of the mechanics that you get to know when you spend so much time in one game over a period of time is very valid as well. So I think I was definitely initially suspicious of that genre and that game in particular, but I'm glad that I did try it. And I think, as everyone knows, I clearly love that game now. And I feel that, I mean, I only play that game in short chunks. I still haven't played the main story quest updates that have come in. I'm hoping to get to that shortly. And it's just a lovely thing to be able to chip away at. It's almost like a comfort food, you know, this game for me now, because I know where everything is. I don't need to look at the map, and I know where the shops are and the vendors and you know, all this stuff. And I think it's just a wonderful thing from having spent so much time in it. Yeah. Is there anything else, Mindy, that you want to throw out there?
I just want to go to something, and I don't really think I have anything specific, but in terms of what I think my answer to this would be if I had a real answer to it, would be a game that has shifted genres. So something like a 2D game that went 3D. Like, most of those have gone terribly wrong. But there's got to be something that's been good that I've liked. Like, oh, here's one. Danganronpa, right? And I gave it a chance because of the story. I gave this game a chance because of the story. But I, you know, I read what the game was and I was like, what? So the first two games are very much visual novels / point and click, right? And then the third game, which is called Ultra Despair Girls, is a third person shooter. And you look at it and you're like, what the hell? This isn't, what? But I gave it a chance because I was invested in the story. And I was invested in the characters, and it is some of the same characters from previous games. And I actually really enjoyed it. I don't like it as much as Danganronpa 1 and 2, but I did enjoy it. So I think, yes, I had a good example. But I think generally my answer for that kind of question would be something that has attempted to shift, like, majorly overhaul gameplay or even genre. And, you know, see if it worked or not.
Okay, now I have one I want to throw at you then, because I think you've played this, but correct me if I'm wrong. The Final Fantasy 15, not the actual main game, but that little thing that came with it, I think at the time, A King's Tale, which was a 2D side-scrolling platformer. Did you play that at all?
You know, I haven't played it yet. Ah. I downloaded it because I think it was free at one point. Mm-hmm. But I have not played it.
See, this is sort of, I suppose, for me, along the lines of what you were just saying. So I played 15. I really enjoyed that game, but I still have not been able to bring myself to play that King's Tale, because I just don't think I can wrap my head around a 2D version with those characters. I don't know. It's just, I suppose I'm too suspicious of that, but it might actually be good. I don't know. Maybe one of us should try it sometime.
Are you trying to drop a very heavy hint on me, or is this going to show up on your trophy card in like an hour?
No, well, look, I think I should try it, because I did do 15 or whatever, but I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really like Noctis. I like those characters in the way they were presented. And I know there's a pocket edition as well, which is slightly different again, but I'm just not sure that I want to, like, I'm very much like this with films, you know, or TV series. Once I get that character, like, or that actor playing that role over time, I don't want to see them in other things. And I think I have that same feeling for this game. I don't know. It's probably silly, but it is. It is what it is, I suppose. Now, Mindy, I've got a special question here for you. It comes in from Kalai. Yeah, Kalai. I've just found it again, a previous guest. Well, it's a specialty question for you. You're the only one that can really answer it, I feel. And it is, what is the difference between a German horse and an American horse?
I'm going to say the same thing I said in the Discord. Video game representation. Most of the horse games are from German developers.
Yes. Why is that? Why are there no American horse games?
I don't know. Actually, here's something interesting. The majority of horses, like domestic horses, are from two different breeds of horses. And one is European, and then one is, I think, American, which is interesting. I'm probably wrong on that. One of them's definitely, Arabian and European. It's not American, Arabian. Would have been more interesting to be able to say that, though.
You should have just done it. No one would know. No one. Well, there'd be somebody out there.
I don't like spreading false information.
And that's right. And as a professor of the German horse racing, horse games, I always call them racing, but they're really more than that. They're encompassing. Yeah, it's fantastic. The interesting thing, though, is there's actually the Japanese have the Jockey Club series, I believe it is, which is, you know, more of a betting horse simulating game. So, you know, there are Japanese horses as well. We shouldn't forget those, Mindy. We just don't understand them because they can't speak English. But they do exist.
I mean, I don't understand German either.
No, but don't you have an affinity with those from the amount of games you've played? I do like that answer, that game representation. That's quite funny. Now, we have a question here from Gaz Davis. Here we go. Given the hardware power of Xbox, what are the reasons it's an overall inferior console to the PS4?
I think that's a you question. I actually want to know what you have to say to this question.
Well, I just think this is a Sony pony here that's lashing out because, you know, they're at the end of the poor end of the stick again, you know. But look, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think the reality is we're not going to see either of these consoles this year, most likely now. Although Xbox has set a date for, you know, towards the end of the year, we'll have to see. But look, I don't know. I mean, Mindy, I don't know if this affects you or not because we haven't talked about it. But, you know, PS5, I should say, will become backwards compatible. But, you know, the level of backwards compatibility is still very unclear. It definitely is not going to be all the way back. Does that matter for you? Like, do you want to play PS1 and PS2 games on a PS5 or are you happy just to let those go?
I mean, it would be nice. You know, this all goes back to me, for me, to that argument of abandonware and video game archiving and the morality or the ethics of emulation. So it would be nice to have one console that supported everything. Mm-hmm. But Sony's not going to support PS1 and PS2 and PS3 on the PS5, because they certainly didn't on the PS4. Where this breaks down for me is, will they go after you for attempting to archive these games digitally? Because at some point, you know, the PS3s are no longer going to work, right? The only PS3s you can really buy now are secondhand. Sony doesn't make them anymore. So they don't make any money anyway. Whether you buy it completely legit from secondhand market and you have physical copies of everything, or you download a ROM. I'm kind of flailing around here. I never expected PS3 compatibility, backwards compatibility. That would have been nice, but I understand why they wouldn't do it. It would have been suicide if they didn't do PS4 backwards compatibility. And my understanding is that it's most, but not all, PS4 games will be backwards compatible with the PS5.
Yeah, I think that's the initially they said the 100 most played games or whatever else, but I think since then it's been broadened out. And I imagine, you know, it will cover most, if not all, over time. But I mean, you know, I don't understand, you know, Mr. Gaz, how you can argue that's a positive for PlayStation when Xbox has that all the way back and the new system will go all the way back. apparently. So that's interesting. And the other argument I know you Sony ponies that are listening are gonna, you know, throw at me later on is the fact, well, we have all these exclusives, Mindy. We have all these amazing games, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, it's amazing. All this stuff. And like, yes, this is of course true, you know, and if you mortgage your house, you know, to buy the new Xbox or whatever else, then, you know, all you're gonna be playing on it is Halo and Forza, most likely, on day of release or whatever. But coming in the next year or two, I mean, they have massive number of studios. So there's going to be plenty coming. So I don't really buy that argument. But look, as always, Mindy, I think maybe buy both. Why not? You know, mortgage both houses, mortgage all your houses, mortgage everything you have, buy both. And, you know, you'll be in a disastrous financial position, but you already are now, so it's not going to matter. And you can play on both systems. And I think it's a win there. So I'll endorse that.
I think you give terrible financial advice.
You know, I'm not a financial... I'd like to disclaimer, I am not a financial advisor. But, you know, if you want to send me your money and see how I do, you, by all means, you can do that. You know, it'll be a laugh for us. So we have a sensible question here that we'll wrap out of the questions today, Mindy. And this comes, I believe, possibly from Cuddles. This is an older question. And it's dated from February. It says, today is the International Day of Women and Girls in Science. So this was back in February, listeners. But the question is, what's your favorite game made or developed predominantly by women or a lady? Do you have a favorite game or series, I suppose?
I mean, you should know the answer to this.
I know that, but I'm going to make you say it.
I mean, I've talked about her before, and I'm going to say it again. I got to give it to my girl, Roberta Williams. Because not only did she start the King's Quest series, she created a genre that is still going. So it's not just that she had this, you know, really successful series in the 80s and early 90s. It's that she created a genre. You got to give it to her.
No, I'm totally with you. I'd probably, for me, I mean, obviously, you know, I agree with Mindy, but I mean, if we're looking at someone releasing more recently, I'd probably go with Jomiya Games, The Sea of Solitude. So this was a, you know, a female-led team or whatever. If you haven't played this game, it's quite exceptional. It's very moving. And then also, Mindy, the other day, well, you know, the other day, listeners, a few weeks ago, I did some reading on Annapurna Interactive, the publisher, the company. And like, I didn't realize they're across everything. They're across film and everything else, but that is also founded and chaired by a lady as well. So fantastic. I don't know what, I suppose my favorite developer, oh, not developer, more publisher, I should say. Although they do some in-house developing as well. So I don't know. Is that enough questions, Mindy? Should we move on?
I want to give a couple more honorable mentions here.
Please.
Let's shout out to Amy Hennig, who was pretty high up in Naughty Dog. She wrote for Uncharted and I think Jack and Daxter.
And a canceled Star Wars game.
And she's been around for a while, actually. I think she worked on what's it called? PS1 and 2 RPG. Legacy of Kain. That was not, obviously, Naughty Dog, but she did work on it. So, quick shout out to her there. And also, kind of tied in with Roberta Williams here, is Jane Jensen. Jane Jensen also worked for Sierra. She did... she's most known for Gabriel Knight, which I believe I've talked briefly about Gabriel Knight, at least the character, on this show before. But Gabriel Knight is kind of a darker point-and-click series. There's three games and a remake. The remake came out a couple years ago. But she's a pretty good writer. She actually wrote later King... Like, she wrote what is generally considered to be the best King's Quest game, which is King's Quest VI. She kind of took Roberta Williams' moon logic and made it make sense from a gameplay perspective. So, you know, the puzzles in these games were no longer... seemed random. They were a lot less frustrating.
Like the old Rumpelstiltskin puzzle.
Exactly.
That's good. The creatives need somebody that's a little bit grounded as well, I think, to link it to, to reality. Yeah, that's good. There is actually one more question here, Mindy. I didn't see it because it was tucked away. It comes in from Patreon producer Zador VP. I think it's more of a statement than a question, but, you know, we should acknowledge it. And he just says here, why are there no Finnish ponies as emoticons on the Discord? And look, that's very valid.
Because... We got the German horse, and we only have so many emoticon slots.
Oh, okay. So we've got to balance them out first, sir, and then you can have your Finnish pony. We'll see what we can do there. We could do that for you. But look, Mindy.
Also, there are no Finnish pony games.
There probably is. There's probably one somewhere.
There probably are.
there goes this afternoon, listeners. As I delve into the Finnish pony game genre, I hope there is. That would be fantastic. But before we do that, Mindy, why don't we turn to what you've been playing? So we haven't heard from you for a couple of weeks. So I'm very interested in what you've been up to.
Sure. What was the last thing I talked about? That's a really good question. There's less spam. I believe I talked about that last time. That was for a site event. Where did I finished Indivisible. I think I talked about Indivisible last time, but I hadn't finished it. Oh boy.
Hmm. I would be interested to hear.
Oh boy. Mm. yeah. So I liked this game until I didn't. Specifically, I liked this game until the final boss fight. So first of all, I would ignore what the trophy guide says. It is not the most important thing to put your upgrade points into attack, because the final boss battle is all about defense. Specifically, the final boss battle is a test of your ability to perform perfect blocks. And it wouldn't be as bad if it was like one hit, one block, like one attack and then one block. But it's not. It's one of those games where the enemy can give you a flurry of attacks and you have to block each one. And you just have to sit there and take it. The enemy has 108 attacks that it will perform on you. And then it just dies. Like, you don't attack this enemy at all.
Oh, that does not sound like fun.
No, it's not. It is not fun. It is not fun. The other thing is, so at least it refills your health halfway through the fight. There's like a break and then a cutscene. That should be a checkpoint. It is not a checkpoint. So every time you die during this boss battle, and you will die during this boss battle, you have to go through all this crap again. Right? It's awful. This game went from, I'm pretty sure this is going to be on my top 10 games that I played in 2020, to maybe honorable mention with a big caveat of, except for the final boss.
So with the exception of that, it is quite good then, without that fight.
It is. I enjoyed it a lot outside of that final boss. Prior to that final boss, I would have recommended this game to just about anyone. My understanding of this is that people said this game was too easy, so the developers patched it to make it more difficult. What I don't know, because this did come out on PC before it came out on consoles, what I don't know is if you do that PS4 trick where you can download unpatched games, which I've never done, I don't know if the difficulty patch is part of the base game on consoles or if it was also patched in later. That I would like to know.
With this boss fight, you're talking about it has 108 attacks or whatever. Is it on a loop or does it randomize the attacks?
No, it's always the same. It's always the same pattern. So there's at least that.
Okay.
But it's still difficult. There is an attack that I really don't think you can block. It's just a matter of, can you get enough blocks in it to not die? And it's an attack that's right before the midway point, which is when they refill all your health. So my biggest pieces of advice on this would be, you know, don't slack on your attacks, but I would back up your save, max out your attack, go back. And put, because I was on level, like there's 5 levels. I was on level 3 defense, I believe, and had a hard time with this boss. So I would say get yourself to level 4 defense, and then anything you have left, put in your attack.
Okay. I have two questions. Now, you'll have to guide me here because I haven't played enough of it. Isn't there some sort of collectible or whatever ability points that you find that you level up your things, but there's not enough in a playthrough, so you have to make a save and is that right? Or how does that work?
I don't know if there's enough in a single playthrough. It would be more time-consuming and a little more difficult to get all of the ones that are available, for sure, which is why, you know, it is advisable to, you know, level up each once or twice and then just start stockpiling stuff until you have enough to level up the more expensive one. Because I think defense is generally more expensive than the attack. Back up your save or just make a separate save.
Mm-hmm.
Max out your attack, reload your save.
Mm-hmm.
You know, max out one, reload your save, max out the other and get both of those trophies.
And roughly how long would you say this game is?
Oh, I mean, it's
last boss.
It's still, you know, at its core, it's still an RPG. So I would say 15, probably more like 20 hours, you know, so it's not a short game, but it's not a, you know, 40 to 50 hour grindathon.
The games interest me for a while. So that's interesting. It's very interesting to hear about the end. Now, I'm really excited to hear you talk about the next one, if this is the next one, because I really like this game. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, she might have hated it. And now she's just going to smash it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you have to say about Riverbond.
It's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Riverbond. It's a cute little game. It's cute. I see why you like it. It's a really easy kind of pick up and play for 20 minutes kind of game. It is a little annoying that there's no checkpointing in the state. So like there's checkpointing if you die, obviously, but each level has like five or six, is comprised of five or six mini levels. And my understanding is you have to do all of that in one sitting, or, you know, when you continue, you just have to start that level over again. Granted, each level will take you about a half an hour. So it's not that difficult to, you know, to do it all in one sitting. But that is a little annoying. That's not to say that you're screwed if you die or anything. It, you know, it puts you right back at those, you know,
yes,
mini level checkpoints. It's just that if you actually turn off the game, you'll have to start the level over. The DLC is free, which is nice. It was just patched in.
Yeah, and a DLC that does, I don't know if you needed it or not, but it can help for the trophies too, because it just gives you more stars and more weapons and characters and stuff like that as well that count in the base game. I don't know if you already had those trophies before you started the DLC.
I did have those trophies. There is a decent walkthrough over on, I think it's True Achievements.
Yes, yeah.
Which you don't really need. These stages are not big at all. General rule of thumb, if there is a wall, like the border walls, if there is a border wall in the stage, the coin and or star is probably on top of it.
Yes.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
And general rule of thumb is there is one of each in each stage. So there's one coin and one star. Except for there's one stage where there's two, and then one or two stage when there's none. It is annoying that there's no way to tell in which stages you have picked up these collectibles, because I do believe you need to get most of them for these trophies.
Yeah, it was almost all of them before the DLC, so I know it's given you a bit of wiggle room, but... Yeah, as you say, it's not too bad. One thing that I found disappointing about the game, although it makes it very easy, is that at the end of each of the stories, if you like, or levels, there's a main boss. But you can basically just button spam him, die, and then run and do it again. And his health keeps going down. So there's no real negative. In fact, that may be the biggest positive strategy in the game, is just to do that.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. So you like that?
I did.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have liked a little pushback, I think, because, you know, I mean, every story finishes in the same way with the boss fight and you do the same thing. So in some ways, I found that bit the most boring of it. I thought the little exploring around the pixelated world was quite fun, but that the ending. But yeah, it's a really,
I mean, I would try to defeat them legit. I'd have a decent range, like a gun. And I'd try to beat him legit, and then at some point I'd be like, no, I'm just going to run up and smack you.
Yeah. Well, it's the quickest method, I think. So. I like it. Yeah, Riverbond. And that's actually free on Game Pass as well, if you have the Xbox and you want to check it out. Where should we go next, Mindy?
Well, let's go into visual novel territory.
Excellent. That's always a comforting place.
We're going to talk about Akash, Path of the Five. Yeah. It's like a fantasy visual novel. The writing's actually not that bad. It's not. It's like a fantasy world. You're an elf. And apparently, like, female elves are, like, super rare. And there's a war between the elves and the humans. And all of your suitors are elves. But there's also, like, a secret sixth suitor who's a human. And, you know, standard visual novel, you know, especially like romantic visual novel tropes are abound here. Let's not mistake that. But it's not bad. I've read a lot worse. There's some good humor in this. This would be annoying to figure out, but there's actually a pretty good guide on Game Facts. What's great about this is that despite the platinum description being unlocked all CGs and all endings, not true. You do have to unlock all the endings because there's individual trophies for those, but you do not need to unlock all the CGs, which is good because even the Game Facts author who spent a lot of time with this game couldn't find all of them.
Is this like just a standard visual novel in that you're only picking decisions then, or is there more to it than just text choices?
No, you're only picking decisions. There is one little mini game bit where it's a very short dodging mini game, but you are more than, especially if you're text skipping, you're more than likely not even going to get that in your game. There is a trophy for doing it. I figured out if you leave your text skip on, it will also skip the mini game. So that is something you have to watch out for.
Is this then, I mean, you're talking about text skipping there. So is this, and this guide, are you using save slots as well for this? Or is it not that type of VM? Is it just you'll pick up everything as you go?
This is not the kind of VM that you can use save states with. Just because the branches start really, really early. It's possible, you know, if someone spent a lot of time with this, they could figure out, you know, a good place to play neutrally and then save and then not have to replay the whole game. It's not that long. It really isn't. But the problem is that a lot of these trophies depend on specific dialogue choices early on, but they don't pay off until quite later.
Now, I saw that when you posted your platinum in the Push to Platinum Club, you chose a, you know, an interesting picture, I suppose we could say. You know, I spent a little time looking at it there. Now, I was going to ask you, is this game just appealing to the Japanese housewife? Is this softcore porn for women? Or is this there something for the men here as well?
I mean, there's a couple of suggestive shots of the character, of the girl you're playing, but it's mostly beefcake. It's
okay.
You know, the ladies gotta get some too, you know?
They're rare. They're rare in the VN market, so it's good to see. There's a bit of equality coming through. I like it. That's good. You don't hear a lot about that game, so that's very interesting.
No, it looks like I'm the last person to play. So I platinumed this 2 weeks ago. No one else has played this. At least there's two stacks of this. But no one else has played this since I have. And prior to that, no one had played it for 2 months. I'm the 11th person to earn this platinum.
Good. So there you go, listeners. You could be the 12th if you like. A cash Path of the Five. I assume that would be an EU and an NA stack. It's all in English, isn't it?
I don't know.
Or there may be a Japanese stack.
Because it's one of those games that doesn't have the region listed on it on PSNP. So it could be something weird. It could be something weird. It probably is. You're right. It probably is. But it could be one of those weird things like a German stack. You know what I mean? Like a really specific country stack.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. What next?
Let's see. What else have I been playing? I stacked True Fear 2 for funsies. For funsies and I think a side event.
Mm-hmm.
I played the new Artifacts Mundi game, which is called The Secret Order Shadow Breach. Not a huge fan of this one. You know, it felt like a slog. It took me a couple of days to write this walkthrough. You know, part of it was family issues, and part of it was just this one. I don't know. There was a lot of back and forth in this one, more so than normal. You know, when I tested my walkthrough, this still came out at about 2 hours. So it's not any longer than most Artifacts Mundi games. It just feels like it. It's not helped by the fact that while you can play on casual, we are back to don't skip anything, don't use any hints, and oh yeah, you have to play the bonus chapter.
Oh, this is this one that you were talking about the other day.
Which we haven't seen in a little while. Mm. The last several Artifacts Mundi games, even if you still had to play on expert and not skip anything, you haven't had to play the bonus game, the bonus chapter.
Excellent. I see Artifacts Mundi then is moving the way of some of these developers that are requiring you to play some game for your trophies. unfortunate. They're probably shocked that most people, you think, would be like, oh, excellent, there's more game here. I get the bonus chapter of this as well. And there's this core group of people going, the fucking bonus chapter.
Well, you've always had to play the game. They do make up for it. In that, I think this is the most trophies that has ever been in Artifacts Mundi. There's 32 trophies in this game. Mm. Artifacts Mundi generally has 15 to 20. Mm-hmm. I think the highest I've seen was 25, and that was one of those play. It might have been that one where you have to play it twice. Because in the early days, you had to play the game twice, because you'd have to do all of the hidden object stuff, and then you'd have to do all of the alternate, whether it was Mahjong or like a matching thing. If you didn't want to play hidden objects, it would give you the option to do something else. And you had to do all of those for another trophy.
Well, look, I'm sure everyone will be on that. Because even at 2 hours, if you said that's still quite reasonable. I mean, it's still spam, Mindy. It still counts.
Spam with guide.
Yes. Now, look at this. This is, I find this fascinating. You know, it's great to see, you know, of all the things on the Japanese store that you could play, you've gone with the Lego DC supervillains. So,
well, I told you I lost my mind and decided that I wanted to stack every Lego game because yes. I'd already pretty much done it. Now it's actually a concentrated effort to do it. I picked up the DLC for this on a crazy sale. It was a crazy sale. All of the DLC was like $10. It was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then I know someone who is a disc collector, and I messaged him and I said, "Hey, you don't happen to have the Lego DC supervillain Japanese disc, do you?" And he goes, "Yeah, I also have the Korean one." And I was like, I love you. He sent me both discs, which has saved me a lot of money. And I'm going to give him my, because he didn't have the European stack of Lego Indiana Jones 2, and I do. So I said, well, I'll send you my Lego stack as like a thank you. And it also gets it the hell out of my house, which is nice.
This is wonderful to hear about fair trading going on with Lego. This is great. But that is definitely next level, I think, to have the Japanese and Korean physical. That is fantastic.
Right?
So I'm just looking, you're going to do, there's four versions of this game I can see here, if that's correct, regions or whatever. You're going to do all four, are you?
Well, I did the North American stack back last May. I'm working on the Japanese stack. That leaves the Korean and the European stack, which I'm not going to back-to-back. I'm not, because this is a big game. It's not as big as some of the other ones, but this is not a short game. There's a lot of hub cleanup after the, you know, the main stuff. But other than that, I have the Lego Harry Potter games on PS4.
Yeah.
That I still need to do. I bought that disc yonks ago, and I still haven't touched it. I have one trophy left in Lego Indiana Jones 2, the European stack, and it's the stupid timed trophy where you have to do the first level in under 5 minutes, which is not fun. And then eventually the Skywalker Saga is coming out, so I'll have to do that. But otherwise, I have done all the Lego games. This is my sad life that I live. Not only have I done all the Lego, I've 100%ed all of the Lego games.
I know, because the amount of DLC. I have a question, because I've never played a Lego game, you know, an Asian stack or a Japanese stack. Is the game is still fully voiced in English, is it? Or they don't redub it? Or
to be honest, I have muted the game. So I actually don't know about the voice acting, but it's all running in English just fine. I don't know if it's one of those things that picks up on your console language and just defaults to that without you having to go in and do anything. The only thing that's screwing me up is that it is one of those games that has reversed the X and the circle button. So I've been canceling out of a lot of stuff when I don't mean to, which is a little annoying. But otherwise, everything's been in English and everything's been playing just fine.
Don't quote me on this, but I think there's a way someone can reach out to us and tell us, because I'm pretty sure there is a way of they patched in, you know, last year at some point or maybe before, there is a way in your settings to actually remap those buttons back to the way we're used to. I don't know how to do it, but it might be if that is annoying you, because I know I had a similar problem when I was playing a Final Fantasy game, and someone told me about that at the time, and I was like, oh, that would be clever to do that. So it might be worth looking into if that is annoying you.
It's a minor annoyance at this point. I'm generally doing fine. It's mostly when I'm either, because here's the interesting thing. It's only for doing actions. Like X is still the jump button in the Japanese stack, like it is in the North American version. It's just when you're like selecting a stage or confirming something.
Mm-hmm.
You need to confirm with circle instead of X. That's literally the only thing. Otherwise, the circle button is the same in the Japanese stack as it is in North American, and so is the X button. It's weird.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes you forget, though, don't you? Like, you just push it by it's force of habit, I think.
I do sometimes.
I tell you what's fun is when you decide you'll play some Xbox after months or you know, or the Switch. And because I tend to play in the dark, I don't like the light on, so I don't know which button I'm pushing. And then it's not doing it, so I look at the controller, but it's dark, I can't see it. So I'm just randomly pushing all the buttons until it, because everyone is different. It's just, it's ridiculous. But, you know, it is what it is. It's the challenges we have, I suppose, Minty. So is there any other game? Oh. There might be another one.
No, not really. There's something I've kind of picked up after a while that I'm just going to wait until it's done, honestly. Because there's not a whole lot to talk about right now. I think that's enough. I'm tired of talking.
Oh, good. we've met the quota of talking. Excellent. I like it. Well, that's good. Look, we drew that out a little bit, listeners, because I don't have a lot to offer. I have a little bit, I suppose. So we've talked a little bit about Red Death, which, you know, in effect is a spam game or whatever. So I've completed that now. I wasn't sure what the fourth mysterious fourth stack was, but I see now it's labeled as well. It is Japanese stack. This game is only for PS4, but it's quite reasonably priced. I think it's like 500 yen or something for it. But can be done in 20 to 30 minutes or so. What I'd recommend with this game, because it's a little frustrating the first time, because you're just learning the enemy patterns, I think, because you need basically a flawless run through the first sort of 6 minutes of the game to get that trophy for 80,000. You could get it if you keep going after the 6 minutes, but the problem is you'll probably die if you don't have a flawless run. Just the way the pickups work, it becomes difficult. So once you've learnt the pattern, which, you know, takes a few runs, you might be better just to do as many of the stacks in a row as you can. It becomes much, much easier that way. I briefly, Mindy, tried this Explosive Jake. I don't know if you've seen this around the place at all.
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, it's not for me, unfortunately. It's like, I suppose it's a puzzler in a way that you control this guy that's carrying a bomb. I suppose it's Jake. You know, he's explosive. The name says it all. And you just sort of move around, and you have to blow up boxes to move through the level. If you like, it's a sort of a top down side scrolling type view. If you like, there are enemies and stuff, so you have to just sort of wait and run. And I don't know. There's a trophy for completing every level. I think it takes a few hours or whatever. I'm sure there's a guide. I'm sure you perhaps would need a guide to see the path, because the levels already early on are getting quite long. or whatever else. But yeah, I don't know. Not for me. I feel there.
How much does it cost on PSN? Just out of curiosity.
I'm just having a look here. I'm not even sure if it was cross buy, to be honest, because I've only did a little bit of the PS4. It may have been. I think it was like about the price of a rat game, or maybe a little bit more.
Okay, so the markup's not too terrible, because this is a $2 PC game. Explosive Jake. It's actually by the same developers who did Awesome P.
Oh, okay, that would make sense then. Yeah.
If you ever played that.
Yeah.
Oh, how cute! I've just found out that Awesome P got a sequel on PC 2 months ago, so maybe that'll get ported.
Awesome P'd. Excellent. I look forward to that. That would be
awesome. P2.
I like it. Yeah. Well, that would make sense now, because I think this game would follow a similar trajectory for difficulty. I think the Awesome P was a little bit tricky as well, if you weren't used to that style of game. So not
it had its moments.
Yeah. So not a a walk in the park spam game at all. I played a little bit of Doom Eternal. I know this, you'd be frothing at the mouth meaning to get into the Doom Eternal, I can imagine.
Absolutely. No, this is not the easy one though, right? Like Doom 64, that's the one that's supposed to be like really easy.
Yeah. I believe that there's a guide there now that talks about using passwords. So you could potentially, spawn into the level you need to for the things. I think it can be done in an hour or something, but no, this Doom Eternal is not like Bethesda is determined to wage war on the low skilled gamer. So this is I'm just going to have to boycott this company going forward, because it's the games are just getting too difficult for me. I'm thinking of the Wolfenstein that came out. I think it was earlier this year, or perhaps at the very end of last year, that the co-op game, which was just trying to play that game by yourself, is crazy hard, even on the easiest setting. And they're just getting too much. This Doom Eternal is manageable. I mean, it has to be, because you can only play it by yourself. You can't co-op it. But I'm playing on the easiest setting, and it's still a little frustrating at times. It's a weird game because it's so linear, and then you open out to areas, I suppose, like arenas. But they just can't. And I know the game. The premise of the game is that it's supposed to come at you really fast, and it doesn't come at me as fast as 2016, the Doom 2016 did. I thought like that, I felt really intense. This is just sort of an annoying intensity. Like it just feels like there's just waves and waves of them coming, but I don't really feel under pressure. I just feel like it's all fine until you get overwhelmed and it's a bit cheap. So look, and again, that's my ability level, I'm sure, or whatever. But the whole game now is, and I know you don't care about this, Mindy, but bad luck. The whole game is based on these glory kills, which is basically like you shoot them and then they start flashing, which is a new thing. So you can sort of see they're ready to be glory killed, and then you run up, and in effect it's like a melee kill, if you like. You just maybe hatchet them or whatever weapon you've got, and that drops that drops health. So that's how you get your health back. You have to kill them in this way. So like you get these bigger enemies, and there's a lot of fodder enemies, but if you sort of kill all the fodder enemies first, you're not gonna get any health later on. So you got to sort of, balance it out. And it's just too much, I think so. But, it's fun or whatever else. There's no story to speak of, but then if you play these games, you're not surprised. But one of the great things is the music in this game. If you like a bit of heavy metal, a bit of a fuck the world type situation, this game is, for that alone, it's fantastic. And it's fun. And I don't think it's too long. Like, I think if you're going for the plat, it is, because you've got to do no death runs and all this garbage. But if you're just playing for the straight story, I think it's fine. A little bit of One Punch Man, a hero nobody knows. So look, the more I play this game, the more I like it. The writing is fantastic. The further you go, it introduces more and more of these sort of everyday people that have become superheroes. And some of their backstories are just hilarious, like the grocery worker who's now, the super cabbage or whatever man. And there's an octopus man as well, superhero. It's just great or whatever. And there is definitely a difficulty curve that I didn't see coming. It's starting to get quite hard as well. Probably the only flaw in this game is the leveling system. It's not keeping up with the difficulty in the missions. So because there are, there are RPG elements, if you like, you're still putting points into skills and, your stats as well, your health and your stuff like that. The missions now are sort of 4 and 5 star missions, but my leveling is only at like level 33. And it's not the sort of game you can grind level. Like there's a ton of missions. So you just keep working through the list. You can't replay the old missions you've passed for XP, but seem to be running into a thing now where, because I'm almost at the end, I'm into the final chapter bracket, which will unlock, and I just can't some of the guys are getting very, very tough to beat. So now I need to go back and do really low level quests or something. And not so convinced that the leveling system is great. And I have read that as well for the plat. And I believe that when the story finishes, there'll be quite a substantial amount of time where you're just doing missions to level. So look, I'm not sure, but it is quite fun. I think it's a lot better. I played a little bit of this My Heroes 1 Justice 2. I don't like it at all. It's still, if you played the first one, you know what to expect. I just don't understand this game. Just like a cheap knockoff or something of a proper fighting game. So if you're going to buy that game, definitely check out some stuff first and go in forewarned. And then the last one I'll throw out, Mindy, I think will interest you perhaps, is this.
I want to hear about this. I know what you're going to say because you've actually platinum this, first of all. But
I have platinum it, yes. The Hidden Through Time.
I'm curious about this.
Yeah. Look, I wanted to ask you a question about this because when I talked about it the other week, I was trying to figure out what genre it is. So all you do in this game is click and point. Therefore, is it a point and click, even though it doesn't have a story?
It's a hidden object game, right? Isn't it like Where's Waldo, the game?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you'd call it a hidden object game. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, like a hidden object adventure game.
Yeah. It's Where's Wally, by the way, too. Thank you. It is Waldo in America, though, isn't it?
It is Waldo in America.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? The guy gets around. Anyway, apparently in the UK it's Wally as well, and apparently that's where it comes from. So I feel.
Yeah. I actually agree. I don't know why he was called Waldo in America, because he is Wally. It's one of those weird name changes I don't really get.
No.
Because it's not like proper literature. So what's the harm in having a kid's character be called Wally as opposed to Waldo?
Well, he has another name in Finnish, but it's unpronounceable. So we just don't know how to say it. So, you know, it's just what it is.
Is that true?
Yes. Mr. Zador put his Finnish name in for this thing, but I don't know how to pronounce it. So it is true. You can ask him. He could tell you. Unless he's having a joke with us, which, you know, Mindy, he has a very fine sense of humor, very black, very dark. So he might be having a joke. I'm not sure. We'll have to.
Might be having a go.
He might be. But I believe him on this one. So look, what is this game? Well, you know, it could be treated as spam, listeners, if you want. There is a wonderful video guide by Dino Raw and a wonderful standalone text guide by Velvet as well. So you could use both or either or whatever you like. I actually I saw Velvet's one after I finished, and Mindy, she's done all the pictures of the levels and circled where they are. So potentially that's actually probably even easier than the video guides. So that could be a wonderful way to do this, the majority of this game, if you wish. So it does break up into two halves. There is a story mode, although there's no, you know, there's no reading involved here. It's just a series of six or so maps that progressively, I suppose, get harder with more hidden objects and things going on. It's not a static picture. The people move around and things like this. Some of the things, Mindy, are like crazy small, like a speck of dust. So like it's a bit challenging to find. I wouldn't be able to do it.
So literal pixel hunting.
Yes. Some are super, and it also does this really cheap thing of sometimes you've got to find a particular person or an animal, but they do a loop behind a house. So you can't actually see them for like, they're not always on the screen. You know, they're there for a few seconds and then they're gone. So if you're scanning quickly, you might not see it because it's not actually visible. You'd have to stay there for like 5 or 10 seconds to notice it come out. So it's a little bit cheap. And also, like, you know, you're like, well, it'll be all right, CJ. I'll just button spam it, you know, and it'll be fine. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to work because it's very, I mean, that would work, I suppose, but it's very specific. You have to hit right where it is. So just spamming in the general area or even really close is not going to trigger it. So look, but you know, if you use the picture guide or the video guide, you'd be fine. The trophies just come for finishing each of the, you know, story campaigns, if you like, the four of them. And then you'll also get the naturally acquired objectives for the maps as well, because you have to 100% them to finish the story. Then the second part of the game, Mindy, here is just doing 50 online maps.
This is interesting to me. Are these randomized? Like, what's the point of having online stages here?
Well, you can make one yourself. Like, you can make, there's a map creator. So you can make a stage yourself and then you can publish it so other people can play it if they want. Oh. So you don't design the assets. Like, you choose from all but there's a lot, you know, different people and objects and plants and stones and buildings, trains, everything. And then you can decide which things they've got to find in there and hide them. Of course, because it's online, there are some people that really like to fuck with you, so they hide them like in almost impossible to places to see places. So if you're only here for the trophies, my suggestion would be just don't go from the top picking online maps, because some of them can be crazy hard. But there's some wonderful filters here that you can search for maps. And if you just search by completion percentage, there's well more than 50 that are between 100 and sort of 96% completed. And it's a pretty safe assurity that they'll be easy. I mean, some of those are so easy you can do in like a second or two.
I was going to say, if it's there's got to be like made for trophy hunters by trophy hunters where it's just like one dude on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is,
And you just have to find him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is that it seems to be cross map sharing, if you like. So it's not only easy trophy maps, but there's a ton there for achievements as well. So obviously the people on Xbox and perhaps PC that are making maps as well, it all goes into a giant pool. So there are a lot of maps. So I know last time when we talked about it, I said, look for easy trophy or easy achievement, but I would literally just go for the completion percentage completed games or whatever, and that will just scroll, because there's even some that go by different names, and you'll easily find the 50 there. If you just go for trophies or straight achievements in the search engine, it takes longer, and you might be a few short. But as I said, if you want to do it legit as well, you could. I think with that method, you could do it in 2 hours, the whole game with the guide or whatever, maybe 6 or 7, depending on how good you are finding the things. But it does get frustrating because some of them, as I say, are crazy small if you're trying to do it yourself or hiding. But yeah, I don't know if that would interest you or not.
I have a trivia question for you. What do you think the Guinness World Record is for the most amount of Waldos in a single location?
Oh, like real people dressed as Waldo?
Yeah.
How many Waldos? You'd think it would be in America, but it could be in Europe country, I reckon. Is there a little bit different? I don't know. I reckon a lot. I reckon 9,403.
You were a little right and a little wrong. So until 2017, so for 6 years, the record was held by people in Dublin, Ireland.
That checks out.
And it was 3,872 Waldos. Until 2017 in Nagasaki, Japan.
Ooh.
And it was 4,626 Waldos.
So it has a big following in Japan. It's interesting. I could see the Japanese getting into that.
Right? Well, they, Japan loves their mascots. They love their mascots. So I can see why they, why Japan might go crazy for Waldo.
I think we could get more Waldos. I think there could be more yet. Yeah, I want to see more than 4,000, whatever. Just imagine. That'd be fantastic.
Well, apparently there's something called, in Colorado, there's something called the Waldo Waldo 5K, because there's a canyon there called Waldo Canyon.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have a 5K every year where you dress up like Waldo and run a marathon. Mm. And they've been trying to break records, and they've been increasing in numbers every year, but they haven't broken it.
I'm thinking, now that E3 is probably finished forever, there needs to be something to replace it. What about like Waldo Fest? That'd be awesome. So everybody comes dressed in Waldo. Maybe when everything calms down, that'll be like the next cultural revolution. There'll be Waldo movies and books. People will be like, how do we survive without this as our, cultural icon? I don't know. We'll have to see, I suppose, Mindy. Shall we, unless you have any more Waldo facts you'd like to share with us, shall we go over to the new releases for this week?
Did you know Waldo is banned in some places because one of the drawings has a woman sunbathing without a top on?
Oh, in the drawing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, that's unacceptable. Well, I can imagine. I can imagine there would be countries that would, it's fine that you have 1,000 Waldos all over the page, but yeah, having that would be too much. It's interesting, isn't it?
I actually remember that because I remember searched, I owned like two of the Waldo books when I was a kid, and I remember being like, I think it was the one where you also had to find like the scroll and the, it wasn't just, it was one of those books where it was, there wasn't just Waldo to find anymore. And I think that was the book. I remember there was one that, it was a page full of Waldos. And you had to find the one that only had one shoe on. Like, it was a nightmare. And speaking of nightmare, there was an NES Where's Waldo game, and it's terrible.
I was just thinking, did it spawn any games? Interesting, interesting.
It was awful. And I remember playing it when I was a kid, and it was just god-awful. But I know you're desperately trying to move the podcast along, so we can do that now.
You know, as a child, I had a very short attention span, which would shock people today. Obviously. But one thing I remember doing with those Waldo books was, I don't know, you wouldn't do this, Bindi, because you're very thorough, but they used to put like...
Did you burn them?
No. They used to put the like, I'm almost Waldo in the picture as well. So you'd be like, oh, there he is, but it's not actually him. It was a bit different. So you'd have to keep looking. So I used to just go by that.
Yeah.
The almost Waldo was good enough to turn the page. So as soon as I found the almost Waldo, if I couldn't find the real one, I'd turn the page. So I got through those books kind of quick. And I tell you what, I became very liberal.
So you're telling me that you're a man who likes to settle.
Well,
you're an immediate gratification settler.
Yeah. Look, I'm not even, I think the further on I went, I was like, well, you know, there's a cat. Look, that's almost Waldo. You know, we'll move on. So I didn't have a lot of patience for puzzles and things like that as a child. They frustrated me. So I set my own rules, which, you know.
You rebel.
Why not? Yes, you know, that's close enough, that thing there. So new releases, Mindy. Look, I don't know. There's a lot of names here, but I don't know. So what do you like?
What do I like? Well, I'm kind of interested in this RFL. It's a 16-bit, it's a throwback. It's a 16-bit JRPG. It originally came out on PC, I think, last year. Let me triple check that. By last year, I mean 2016.
Yes.
It actually reviewed very well. So I'm kind of interested to see what they do with it. It looks like it's taken a lot of inspiration from, like, Chrono Trigger specifically.
This is not Kemco.
This is not Kemco. This is by someone called Stegosoft Games. Have done this, and then they've done some game called another JRPG called Rise of the Third Power.
I like that.
So definitely not Kemco.
Yeah. Okay. The art style looks interesting. Interesting. A little bit of male fan service there as well. That's excellent. Excellent.
I think this looks like RPG Maker.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's only PS4. Okay.
Yeah, I wish it was on Vita. Yeah.
Well, Mindy, do I have the game for you? This is PS4 and PS Vita digital, and it's cross-buy. So it's got many lists. I've already seen this. Tons of lists. And, of course, this is the infamous Duck Souls Plus. Does it interest you, Mindy? Have you always wanted to be a duck?
I don't know, man. The last time I played a game that was a bird and had a plus on it, was not the best of times.
Oh, yes.
See what I did there? See what I did there?
Yes, very clever. It's almost like you had that set up. I'm impressed.
You know what? I really didn't. I knew you were going to talk about this game, but I really did not think about that until just when you started talking about it. Sometimes I'm actually quick-witted, surprisingly enough.
It's such a cute-looking duck on the picture there. And I watched a trailer before we started recording, listeners. And the first thing the guy says in the review or whatever is like, yes, it's a cute looking duck, but don't expect a cute, easy time. And I was like, oh, well, I don't need to watch anymore. But apparently this is pretty tough platformer or whatever else. But it's, you know, it looks the sort of game that you probably would like, actually. So it wouldn't surprise me if you end up playing this at some point.
Is this the same people who did... Gravity Duck? No.
No, they did this game. They did do another game. It started with P on PC. I'm not sure. This is an older game as well, a few years old. Although the plus, I suppose, maybe you get something extra. Like, I don't know. Maybe that headband has been added. Now that lovely red headband on the duck. I'm not sure. But look, you know, I think it'll be reasonably priced. Going forewarned, it looks like a spam list, but from what I've seen of it, it may not be spam at all. So be careful. Anything else, Mindy? Is there another one?
Let's see. I feel like I had another one. I'll give a quick shout out, even though I don't have a VR, I'll give a quick shout out to the Room VR. I've played a couple of the Room games. They're like puzzle, escape the room games.
Mm-hmm.
That have been, at least the three that I've played, have been really solid puzzle mm-hmm. games. I don't know about this VR one. It's the first time they've done a VR room escape game, which could go, you know, which could be pretty cool, or it could just all go terribly, terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I am hoping that it is the former and not the latter.
Problem with some of these games are these VR games, they're getting so bloody expensive. They're coming out as like full price AAA games. So I'm not sure what for your a couple of hours experience. So I'm not sure. But this one does look interesting. We shall see. And then what shall I throw? Now, this one does look really interesting because when I woke up this morning, I thought, you know, I don't want to read the news anymore. I've had enough. So instead, I'll read the PlayStation Store and see what's there. And this Freedom Finger has arrived. And this, I suggest, even if you don't want to play this, I suggest having a look at some gameplay because it looks hilarious. It's a side-scrolling shoot 'em up, if you like. And now the premise is that, you know, they say it's a music game. It's a music game in as far as each level is set to one track and there's 40 different music tracks or whatever else. Again, apparently it does spike in difficulty towards the end, so be careful. But overall, I think it's manageable for everyone from what I've heard and read so far. But it just looks, the art style looks fun. It's got Nolan North as one of the voice actors from Uncharted. So obviously they've got a bit of a budget here as well, Mindy. They've got a few well-known voice actors. So even though this is...
Well, but also Nolan North is, you know, Nolan North is in everything. It's just...
No, that's true.
It's just the
now
way it
in,
is.
Now he's in an indie finger shooter, but... But it's great. And also, Mindy, you...
Indie finger shooter.
That's what it is. You've got to be careful how you say that, don't you? You're in trouble there. But the trophy list is hilarious too. There's some very funny trophy names and requirements as well. So that looks pretty good, I think. Now, I don't know, but I just noticed here there's nowhere here that it says that Persona 5 Royale Edition is coming. I think that's soon, isn't it? Maybe it's not.
It's supposed to be soon.
I thought it was this week before the end of March. So perhaps, you know, perhaps that will drop on us as well.
That's the one with all the DLC, right?
Yes. But I don't know if you followed it, Mindy, but the original Persona 5 or whatever, it's a two playthrough and it's like 100 plus, maybe closer to 200 hour platinum or something. And this new version, apparently, you know, it's the same game with added stuff. Apparently, it's one playthrough, and the trophy list is much easier to do and much quicker as well. So that could be a good option for anyone that, you know, is scared off by, you know, two playthroughs of what I think is roughly the same game. I don't think there's a lot of variation between the playthroughs.
I mean, that's the reason I'm gonna play Final Fantasy XV Pocket you know, the original one.
Yeah. Look, I think that's valid.
I just lost some respect from someone. I know I did.
Oh. No, I don't. No, well, you're scared of the DLC. That's your problem because they're completing it.
Yeah.
You know, that is your burden to bear. You know, I wish I could share some of this non-completionist with you. I think you'd enjoy it. But, you know, not at this stage, obviously.
Don't try to change me.
I like it. So why don't we, listeners, why don't we move across next and we'll have a look at some spam, Mindy, because we haven't done spam for a while. And, you know.
Is it spam time?
I think it is. People are trapped in their houses. They're, you know, like I'm sure we're going to see an explosion of trophies in the next few months. I have a feeling this will go down as the golden age of trophy hunting. So, you know, we help them here by speculating on games that may or may not be spam, I suppose.
Hey, CJ.
Yes.
CJ, guess what? Mega Man Metroidvania.
I thought that was going to come up naturally because we changed the format a little bit at the last minute, and I was pretty sure that Mega Man was actually going to come up because I know we didn't bring it up in the questions, Mindy, but there was a question directed to you this week about which was the best Mega Man to start with, I believe. Or if you're going to play one, and look, I don't know which one you said, they're all the same to me. But
I feel like I answered this question on, was it Llama?
I think it's come up many times.
Because we were just talking about it. And I said, if it's the original NES, 2 is probably the one to start with. It's probably the best of the originals, and it's also the easiest. Mm. But in terms of actual, like, modern gameplay mechanics, I would, you know, unless you're really into retro games, I would skip the originals and go to the X series and start there.
Yeah, look, that sounds perfect. And did you say the word Metroidvania as well? Did we get that in there?
I did. Good,
sorry, I just blank out now. Did. I don't hear it. But excellent, good. We're covered for this week then, I think. So, shall we move over to spam?
Yes, let's move to spam. It's kind of weird doing spam because now you've got the whole spam show on level cap.
That's true. But I mean, in that we only cover a couple of games, and you know, they're games that we've usually played. So we have some insight into what we're playing, as opposed to this podcast where we just talk about whatever, you know, in the spam section, I mean. So mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is sort of like buyer beware, you know, this is like investing and you don't really know because we're just putting it out there that it might be. It might not be. And then level cap comes out at the end of the week and we can go, well, look, it wasn't. You know, you just wasted your money on our recommendation. So that's sort of how it works. So if you're a week behind, you'd be safe, I think. So what is there something you'd like to start with? I don't know.
So you said Dark Souls Plus probably not going to be spam. I don't know because it doesn't say anything about beating levels. Mm-hmm. It says unlock hat. And this could mean either someone finds a workaround and you just grind for coins or whatever in the first couple of levels and you buy all this stuff, or this is one of those mm-hmm. games where you get a hat after beating every level and they're just being cute about the way they present it in the trophy guide or in the trophies.
I don't know. I'm still fearful of that game, but then I'm fearful of Awesome P as well. So, you know, if you're not fearful of that, you'll probably be fine. What about this Doggerray? How do you say this? Doggerray? I don't even know. Look, it's a dog with a sword. And it's all green.
Doggerray? Doggerray, like samurai, but dog.
Doggerray. Doggerray-san. Yeah, excellent. Of course it is. I didn't see that. It's a lot of trophies here, so it's not in its favor. In fact, it's actually finished the game.
I don't know, man. Finish the game without losing a life.
I think we can just...
Finish the game on hard. I don't think this will be spam.
No. I think you're right. What about this maze? I'm going to go with this maze. This looks couple of hours with the guide. I think this will be doable. You just got to complete. In fact, all the trophies seem to be for completing different mazes and the worlds as well. I mean, there'll be a bullshit one in there for sure, Mindy. You can bet on it. They just do that. But you know,
is Thunderpaw, is that spam? I think you've platinumed it a couple of times, so it's probably spam.
No, I haven't. I haven't played it yet, but I believe it is. That was the Sometimes You game, I believe, from last week.
No, it was Rata.
Oh, is that the Rata game? Wow, I'm really behind. I have not really played it yet, but I believe it is spam. Yes. Yeah. We can throw that in.
I will tentatively throw out Dissection.
Ooh, okay.
It's supposed to come out this week. It's like a horror game. It looks super generic. Half of the trophies are for knocking down pictures. So it kind of makes me wonder if you're actually the ghost mm-hmm. and not the person running away from the ghost.
Ooh, that'd be pretty cool.
I will tentatively throw this out. Probably spam with guide.
That seems all right. There is, I don't know if you saw this game, Mindy. It's a little bit of frustrating spam, this War Theater. So there's a guide now for this game. It's a free game that you can platinum in a couple of hours. It's like a strategy style game. There was an NA stack of it, and now I believe it looks like there's an EU stack that's permeating.
Oh, this is the developer that did Mecho Tales.
Yes, yeah.
And Plague Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was fine, but I played Mecho Tales, and I played, there was a crossover. It was like Mecho Tales and, I want to say Desert Ash, something Ash.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And that was enough for me. Oh, Pocket God versus Desert Ash, that was it. Mm. Which I think had some of the Mecho characters in it, or it's just looks alike and it's not it at all.
Mm. Mm.
But that was, you know, Mecho Wars was enough. Oh, Mecho Wars Desert Ashes. That's the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I was kind of fine after Mecho Tales, so yes. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, you can stack that game on PS4 now, too, I believe. It's probably one of the cheapest platinums you can get.
No, thanks.
Fair enough. And then, as we alluded to earlier, Doom 64 can be done in an hour with the guide. It's a little bit, I think it's setting stuff up. There's a little bit of trickiness in one of the trophies or whatever, but it's all detailed in the guide. And then just the last thing I have, Mindy, if you have any more, the Foxyland and Foxyland 2. Now, this is interesting. This is a Vita release. This is a physical stack. Our friend Joe, co-host Joe, on a push to level cap, he's actually ordered this, I believe, from PlayAsia. So, you know, he'll probably see it after if we survive in the next year or two, that'll probably arrive for him. So, and he was telling me it's all on one cartridge, both games. But what I find interesting, because I'm not going to do something stupid like that and pay ridiculous to order it. But when this sometimes happens, the same stack ends up on the Japanese digital store. This has happened before. Mm-hmm. So this could be something to watch for, because I would play these too again. You've played these, I think, haven't you?
I played the first one. I think I said it's got heavy jumping controls. Like, he never jumps as high as you think he's going to. And that can really throw your timing off on platforming. But I have played it. I also played Breeder Homegrown, which was, I'm sure you've talked about. I liked it until the end of the game, when it's revealed that there will be a sequel, and then I didn't like it. I do not think, because they're really banking on this being like Eldritch Horror, but then they're like, and there will be a sequel. I'm like, no, leave it.
Yeah.
You know, make a sequel if you want, but don't advertise the fact that there's going to be a sequel.
To be honest, I didn't like that game at all. The only thing I really liked, I thought the sound design was fantastic in it, but the rest of it, yeah. I didn't dislike it.
I like the idea of this game. I like the stories they're trying to tell in these types of games.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, is it the best one I've played? No. But, you know, I think it's pretty decent.
It's fine. I mean, if you are going to play that and you haven't played it, because it is, there's two stacks on PS4 and two stacks on Vita, although I don't believe this is a cross-buy, is it? I think you have to buy it separately here. For this, at least play one of the stacks with the sound, because it is good. It's really good. Maybe even wear some headphones. I was, for an indie game of this style, I was quite impressed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're gonna play it four times or something, have a listen to one of them, perhaps, as you go through. But yeah, that's a lot of spam, Mindy. I think that's enough to keep people busy. Now, what I wanted to ask you, now that we're, as you've alluded to, your state is looking to move to lockdowns as well, and here in Australia, it's despite the slow reaction, it's still only a matter of days away, I think, before we are as well. Is there something you're looking forward to playing?
I'm still kind of shocked that your schools are open.
Oh, look, there's many things that are shocking here at the moment, so we'll just hope that, we all survive what's to come.
Are the pubs considered essential businesses to stay open?
I think in most countries in the world they wouldn't be, but in Australia that is a valid argument that the pub is but no, I believe they're doing the same thing as America. I think you said that the bottle shops are still, or the liquor shops are still open there, like the drive-throughs or the takeaways. I'm not sure.
At least where I am, the liquor stores are still open. I think it's a state by state thing. I feel like I read a couple of states you can only get liquor at the grocery stores now. You can't just go into an alcohol shop.
Well, look, it's been very slow to react here. The ultimate irony, Mindy, is that Bondi Beach here in Sydney is a bit of an institution in Sydney, if you like. And the government was a little unlucky. We had two very warmish days in a row for this time of year on Friday and Saturday. And of course, every man and his dog, dog, child, and whoever he could find, decided that it would be a great idea to go to Bondi Beach. So there were thousands of people on the beach, within 2 centimetres of each other everywhere on Friday. So I think that tipped the government's hand into realizing how many fuckwits we have in this country and idiots. And they starting to realize now that they actually have to do stuff rather than just hope people will do stuff themselves.
That was going on down in Florida. People were still taking spring breaks and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Well, they closed the beaches, I think, didn't they?
It's, it's like Jaws and their refusal to close the beach.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which, it's terrifying that people still feel this way, but I think we're slowly starting to realize. I think being so far away from the rest of the world, it's bought Australia a lot of time. But I think also on the flip side, it's bought, there's plenty of coverage, but I think a lot of people are just burying their head in the sand. So you know, hopefully that doesn't.
Well, maybe they thought all of the things there that can kill you would kill the virus.
That's right. You're still more likely to get killed by something else before that gets you here, I feel. But it's no surprise that, you know, well, that you're right, Mindy. It's just another thing to add to the list, you know. It hasn't changed the danger of living in this country much at all, I suppose, when you look at it that way. But what I was alluding to is, you know, we're going to have more time. Our listeners are going to have more time. Is there a game in particular you've been putting off, or you think you might be dropping into in the next weeks/months?
Yeah, I don't know. This is probably a good time. And I probably won't do it, but this will be a good time to pick up some longer games that I haven't played or that I put off. Like, this would be a good time to go back to Red Dead Redemption 2, as much as I don't want to. Even Danganronpa V3. You know, I finished that game, no problem. But after the game, there's a whole 100-level dungeon crawl game that you need to do for, like, 3 trophies on this list. And it's just a massive grind. And there's another trophy, a single trophy for, it's called Masterful Development. Complete the ultimate talent development plan with every student, regardless of rarity. Well, there are these like cards and that you can get, and that unlocks the character in the, to use in the dungeon crawling game. And it's every student from all 3 Danganronpa games. So that's like 60 cards that you have to get, and then take each one of them, because you can only do one at a time, each one of them through this stupid mini game that determines what their stats will be to go into the dungeon crawling game. It's so super annoying. So now would be a good time to grind out some of that.
So listeners, if you've had enough of just banging your head against the wall repeatedly, if the blood's flying too much, that could be a good alternative, Mindy. It sounds about as much fun.
No, I think people should play Danganronpa, though, because it's actually a good game.
Yes, without that section of it, perhaps.
No, Danganronpa 1 and 2 do not have that. They've got other long mini-games at the end of it, but not as long as this.
It's funny, though, isn't it? Like, I feel the same way. Like, it'd be a really good time to start long games. And I was thinking this last night, like, I put a pile there, and I was like, you know, be in this situation for a while. This would be great. And then I was just thinking, you know, imagine, like, you know, it goes on for a few months or whatever, and then, you know, in a few months' time, we're all out and everything's normal again, and or however long it takes. And then I'll look at that pile and realize that I haven't touched it. And I was like, I wonder what the percentage chance of that is. It's probably
pretty high. Yeah, I mean, you could take this opportunity to finish Death Stranding.
Well, no, I am. I'm still working on that, actually. I've hit chapter 4 now. So it's sped up. Chapter 2 was really long. I warn people, brace yourself for that. A lot of garbage in there, but and I said before, Mindy, I have a sneaking suspicion I'm gonna like this game perhaps at the end, but I don't know. We'll have to.
So betrayed, CJ.
Well, I'm not sure, because I think I'm gonna like this game when the story ends, but I know I'm not gonna like it 50 hours after that when I finally got the plat from just doing the same thing over and over again. You know, you might like it, Mindy. It's the ultimate Japanese fetch quest. That's all this game is. You're just taking things from one side of the map to the other. I mean, it's fantastic, you know. But once the story stops completely and that's all you're doing, I'm not sure how much I'm going to enjoy it. But
have you found Conan yet?
No, not yet. I think I'm very close to that part, though, because I've moved to this new island section and I believe he's there. So I'm sort of trying to do some of the fetch questing as I go, just to cut down on the 700 or something you have to do afterwards. So if you don't, so pacing myself. But unfortunately, all the trophies for that will be tied at the back end, but it doesn't matter. We'll get there. We'll get there in time. So Mindy, let's move over to the Push to Plat Platinum Club shout outs. And remember, listeners, if you want to get your platinum shouted out each week, jump in to the Push to Plat Platinum Club on the PS4. It's a free community and post. Or as we said, if you can't do that, or if you prefer to post it through the Discord, there is also a channel there. And Mindy, we've also requested people if they'd like to post their first platinum pictures as well, because we're going to probably do an episode later on about first platinum pitches.
First times.
Yeah. So let's start off today with Red Beard Rick, number 126, The Walking Dead Vita. I wonder how that runs on Vita.
You know, I played it on Vita. It's, as I recall, it's okay. Probably not as good as I remember, but it's okay.
Just okay.
It's not unplayable, like, you know, Batman on the PS3.
Okay, okay. Now, I believe you have one of Rick's there as well.
I do. 127, Illusion of Lufalcia? Lufalcia? It's L-apostrophe-P. Ulfacia?
Seems close enough.
This is a Chemco RPG.
Yes.
I believe this is the one where, like, half of the people are anthropomorphic.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Well, I believe that he played that to get points for his RPG Mania competition on profile. So congratulations, sir. I hope you got a
upload.
I'm sure that was the reason behind it. Yes. Then we move to Darreal 3 Spooky 5U, GTA 5 PS4 cleanup. So that's 100% in GTA 5. Congratulations, sir.
Nice. On PS3 or PS4?
PS4.
Can you even get, you can't get 100% on PS3 anymore, can you?
Well, I definitely can't, but I don't know. Maybe if you own a PS3, you can. I'm not sure.
Generalized you. I know you can't on GTA 5. No, 4 on PS3. Part of me thinks that that's also true for GTA 5. I don't know. I don't play them.
Well, there you go. That's a big effort, I think, still. Gaz Davis. This is a fun one. Gaz Davis 11. Number 49, Plants vs. Zombies. The first Plants vs. Zombies. Congratulations.
Oh, that's a big one.
They're fun. Very fun, those games. In particular, that first one. Oh, and there's another one here. So we're a little bit out of order, but that's okay, listeners. Redbeard Rick, number 128, Puzzle Showdown 4K. That's a lovely spam. Lovely spam title. Do you have another one you want to throw at us there, Mindy? We're just sort of...
Yeah, I got Dino Roar here. What number is this? 932, Red Death. That's a spam game, right?
That is a big spam game. Yes, yes. Yeah. Excellent. He's getting
Big spam. Huge.
Approaching the there's four stacks of that, so of course it's huge. Approaching the 1K. Well done. Well done, sir. I Lloyd X Christmas. I like that. Children of Mortar, number 112. That is supposed to be a really good game. I keep hearing about that. So congratulations, sir. That's also a big game, I believe. Mindy, there's a special here for you, Teresa. Bibi and Tina, Adventure with Horses.
Oh, Bibi and Tina. I can't escape them. And
but you might congratulate.
I have reluctantly embraced it.
Yes.
Not all German horse games are created equal, and I would say something like Windstorm is much better and more worth your time.
You gotta work your way up to Windstorm.
BB and Tina.
You gotta work your way up, I think. I think that's fair enough. Zador VP, number 457, Zero Escape, the Nonary Games. Great franchise, worth replaying. So he's replaying this one as well. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, I actually wrote a trophy guide for that on PSNP because the Nonary Games edition ported 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors, which is the first game in the series. We will, by the way, we will do an episode on these games at some point. That and Danganronpa. It will happen. Might be the same person talking about both of them, by the way.
Is this the one where it's two games in the one trophy list, or is that the other one?
It's two games in one trophy list.
Yeah,
so what happened was 999 came out on DS, the original DS. And it's a visual novel with RuneScape puzzles. And then it came out on mobile, and it was just the visual novel, and they took out the RuneScape stuff and added a flowchart, which it desperately needed. And then Virtue's Last Reward and Zero Time Dilemma came out on Vita. And then they got ported to PS4. Oh, no, Zero Time Dilemma got ported to PS4. And then Virtue's Last Reward was going to get ported, and then they decided to throw 999 on there too, which was a very good move. And so that's the Nonary Game edition.
Ah, okay.
Which is what Zador was playing. So they basically ported the Virtue's Last Reward trophy list and then added like 10 trophies for 999.
I've actually played that 999 on Vita, but the version I have is the American version, so I had to use the Vita trick. And so I synced all those trophies, but I never played the second game there. So I was going to do that on PS4. It sounds like a dangerous move, but I think it will work and link the trophies together because it is a shared list. between the two.
It's weird because I look at this screenshot of his. It's really weird to see this game with like normal size graphics.
Yes.
Because it was developed as a handheld, you know, it was meant to be handheld. So it's just weird to see these kind of stretched graphics. Mm. Mm. It's a little creepy.
It is, yeah. Next up, we have Teresa. Doesn't have the number here, but this is, we didn't talk about this game today, Mindy, but this Rainbows, Toilets and Unicorns. It's, what a fantastic name. It is out and about now, this game. It's some sort of a bullet hell type thing or something. Although,
yeah, I think I looked at this trophy list a while ago and like I loved everything about it until I saw it was a bullet hell and I was like, damn it, never going to play it.
Well, our Patreon producer, Olcero, is playing it at the moment and it sounds like it's really taking the piss, this game. It's got like a lot of good humor in it and all this sort of stuff. But he was saying that the game mechanics themselves, it's a bit frustrating or something. And I believe there are worlds. So there's so many levels in a world. And if you die in any of the levels in the world, you have to restart the world again and stuff like this. So I'm not sure.
Wait, CJ, are you telling me there is frustration to be found in a bullet hell?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Well, not all bullet hells are equal either, Mindy. there we have EDJ3DG, and he has The Last of Us Remastered, Forever a Timeless Classic. That's another big one. Congratulations.
So that's a big one.
It is. Do you have another one you want to throw at us, Mindy? Or
yeah, I think it's the last one in the Discord for this mm-hmm. week. It's, oh no, I lied. There's two. I don't know how to pronounce this. Zouti? Zoutje?
Oh, yes.
Original Life is Strange. Looks like on PS4. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, who is this? Seagull. Looks like 100%ed Uncharted 4.
Mm. That's been a bit of a long-term project, so congratulations, sir.
Well, that's actually really good because, oh, no, I'm sorry. Did not 100% it. It was an awkward screenshot. Platinumed Uncharted 4. I was going to say that would be really impressive because Uncharted 4 has those awful, awful DLC trophies.
Yes, the online. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a long-term plan of his. And I'll just tack on the end there with the Zout JNL. He also, number 27, Bioshock 2. So congratulations, sir. I'm still to...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, still to play the second one. So interesting. Ed the Shed, 2014, 100% Arcade Archives, Bomb Jack. Brings back memories of playing this when I was younger. I'm pretty sure that's one of the ones you can do in like 3 minutes. So congratulations, sir. Plat number 74, Milo's Quest. Although quick and easy, I really enjoyed this game. Dat One Seagull, 241, which we've already addressed, the Uncharted 4 DLC. So look, that is a lot. We anticipated it growing perhaps over the next...
Wait. Did I miss one? He did the DLC? Because that wasn't listed in the Discord. Did he list the DLC in the...
No,
in the
DLC.
Shadow?
He got me again. DLC coming next year. So...
Gotcha.
Yeah, so we anticipate a bit of an uptick in the games posted in the next few weeks, but we look forward to hearing and seeing what you are all playing. So, Mindy, it's been wonderful to have you back again. Could if the listeners were trying to find you, how could they find you?
Twitter at The Mind is a City. I also have a coffee page that I'm sure CJ will link in the show notes.
Excellent. And if you're trying to find the show, it is available on all good podcast providers. If you'd like to reach out to us and say hi, you can do so on Twitter at push2plat, or send us an email at push2plat@gmail.com. But for the easiest way to find us, jump into the Discord. It'll be in the show notes. There's plenty of game talk and look, just a bit of everything in there, I suppose. So look, it's been a fantastic chance for us to talk again, Mindy, I suppose, is what I'm looking for. I've really enjoyed today. Listeners, obviously, as we've said a lot.
Did you miss me?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, you know. Did you bring me a present then now that you're back?
Why are you like this?
Look, you know, so listeners, we will persist till next week unless one of us kills the other over the online. But, you know, if that happens, that'll make for exciting listening, I am sure. Take care. Be safe. As always, I'd like to take it just the moment to thank our Patreon producers, Sprunky, Scottish Noob, and Zador VP. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to put this thing together each week. So we all very much appreciate that. Take care. Earn tons of trophies. Stay safe. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.